interior.
No, no. No, if I, if actually, no, look, if I saw a lot of extra residences, it would certainly be really clear evidence that something like string theory occludes a line theory, for example, from 1917 might be right.
So, so you do agree, though,
it being that there's neat new physics that's associated with extra dimensions.
Being really grudging here, Lawrence.
Hold on, if in 1926 we discovered them, what would you have said?
If we discovered what?
All these extra residences. You would have said this great theory called Kaluza-Klein theory that was invented, which no one talked about because there was no evidence for it. And back then, you actually had to have evidence. but you would have said, hey, that's the evidence of Kaluza-Klein theory.
Let's see, I think Brian asked a very clear question.
No, but I mean, it was certainly, to be fair to you, it would certainly give it that the directions that string theory is moving in are clearly the right directions if you saw it.
Okay, so the record will indicate yes.
Yeah. So you do agree that there is a possibility that these ideas
are right. Oh, sure. No, there's absolutely a possibility. I see no.
Yeah.
There's no reason to believe it now, but there's a possibility they're right, and there's a possibility lots of things like
that. Right, I know. But if you went into Antonio Stradivari's workshop and picked up a block of wood and started to play it and said, Jesus, doesn't sound very good, it'd be a natural explanation that it was a work in progress and it hadn't developed to the point where it actually could produce the music that you were wishing it would.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, within a few years, there's really a chance. I mean, I consider it a long shot, but I just want to, in principle, a chance that these ideas really will be on the table. And
I think I want to go in a slightly different direction here, because the one thing that we all loudly agree on is that this is a special time in science, that we feel like the solutions to really big problems are within reach. And Brian is here telling us that string theory is going to give us guidance that might be the right answer. And we know that in science that, you know, sometimes ideas are not fully correct, sometimes they're dead wrong. And but ideas are important to guide, that science is not, and I know you wouldn't be saying this, but science is not just a list of random facts.
Yeah, sure.
It's understanding. So theory is really important, although the facts are important to verify the theory. It isn't just we go out and measure a bunch of stuff. So what are the alternatives? I think the next question we ought to talk about is, let's turn the tables. And so what other guidance are we getting? Here we are on the verge of a major revolution in understanding of space and time and how the universe was born. So what are the alternatives? What are the other ideas that are guiding us? And how are they doing, by the way? Are they getting... Is there some other idea out there that's got 15 pluses?
Well, no, the point is, if there were, we wouldn't be having this discussion, right? I mean, we would, we would be, you know, extolling the virtues of this great new discovery that actually did something. Instead, we're talking about a fascinating idea that hasn't yet done anything, but that's unfair. It's a fascinating idea. But
we're talking about a leap here.
Some people said
theory is not very good, but it's in first place. Is that right?
Yeah, but it's important. But I think it's important to realize that that's often been the case in science. And then the real theory comes along and gets the answer right. In fact, it's happened to string theory once before. String theory was developed as a theory of a strong interaction. When accelerators were first discovering a lot of new particles in the 1960s. There were hosts of new particles coming on, and it looked like there were an infinite number of them. And the theory just was so complicated, no one ever figured you'd have a way around it. And in fact, strings were developed to try and explain that. And it turned out that they didn't, that in fact, a much simpler idea that recently won the Nobel Prize, that the thing that protons are made of quarks, and these quarks have a really interesting property, that the interactions between them get weaker as they get closer. And it explained all of that stuff. And so at the time, string theory, or a version of string theory, was really the Oakford late 60s, was the only game in town. And it was just as mathematically attractive, almost as mathematically attractive as now. It just wasn't right. And so the fact that it may be, and it is, I think, mathematically the most intoxicating set of ideas around for many young people. But that doesn't mean it has anything to do with reality.
So let me lower the standard here a little bit. One funny thing that's there. theorists love to say is that sometimes a wrong theory is more important than a right theory.
But what do you mean by wrong?
See, I'm asking the question. Okay. So, in science, sometimes an idea, a wrong idea, can push people to think in new directions, can frame things. And I'm just wondering, because you've been given the side to speak out against string theory, what do you think? Has it helped in this quest to try to unify the forces and try to understand? Has it at least provided a straw man and a framework to push people in certain directions, to make measurements, to make progress, even if it doesn't turn out to be correct?
Well, to try and be balanced. The
a
basic answer is
balance.
Yeah, it's fair and balanced in the known Fox News sense. But the short answer, of course, is no. But let me just. There is one area that I think string theory, on the whole, in fact, that's what's disappointed me most about string theory, is that it hasn't done precisely that. 25 years ago, I thought it would have given some direction to people to look at things, to make measurements that they wouldn't have made otherwise, or to push us in interesting new directions. And it just hasn't done that. In fact,
the short answer is no.
No, but the one area that I think it has, fair, is it's caused people to think about what might be possible if there are lots of extra dimensions. And that's been an interesting area of theory. I think that also, it's caused people to realize something that the string theorists didn't argue, but that may be even more fascinating, that these extra dimensions aren't tiny, they're actually big. They're infinite. There may be infinitely big extra dimensions that we can't see. And what's amazing is that they're not ruled out by experiment, and maybe the next generation of accelerators might be able to detect them. And I think that's a fascinating idea. I think it's probably wrong, frankly. But I think it's a fascinating possibility, and I have to say, it wouldn't have come up were it not for string theory. But that's the only area that I can think it's given any direction. And in fact, the key great discoveries in cosmology has given the wrong direction in my mind.
I want to, Brian, you've been sitting patiently here. So you can talk about other theories, or this question is, has string theory, because you said it's a work in progress. Has it pushed people? Has it provided a framework? Has it provided a challenge? Sometimes, if you've got a theory out there, someone will go out and do an experiment that they wouldn't otherwise have done. Someone will build a big accelerator. Somebody, if you want to respond to that, Lawrence says, gave up a grudging one. But
yeah.
You want to think of...
You know, I would say there definitely are examples of that. I mean, the calculational methods that string theorists have developed have guided people doing more traditional calculations in particle physics, allowing them to complete calculations that they absolutely would never have been able to complete otherwise. So these are calculations in quantum chromodynamics that string theory guided those calculations early on. Now, subsequently, after people get the insight from string theory, they found various ways of reframing it without string theory. But you're asking me, has string theory pushed things in other areas in a positive direction?
Or pushed experimenters to do something?
No, not experimenters. Again, you know, an experimenter has to come to my office and say, what should I look for? And I can't give anything sufficiently specific that they would go out and build a machine to look for. The changes in the temperature fluctuations in CMB, people would look for anyway, because this is a fantastic way of probing the early universe. We are making predictions about what they may find, but they would be doing that experiment anyway. It's a deep and important experiment to undertake. You know, another link, though, to ongoing experiments is the stuff happening at Brookhaven. You know, the RIC experiment, Relativistic Heavy Ion Collider. I don't know how many people are familiar with it, but this is a machine that is basically taking gold atoms, not protons, but heavier objects, gold atoms, and slamming them together at very, very high energies, recreating high temperatures unseen since just a moment after the Big Bang. And what's particularly interesting is string theory has given calculational methods that have allowed scientists to at least gain some insight into this plasma, this early universe-like plasma that comes from these collisions. It isn't saying that string theory is right, but it is a link to experimental undertakings that string theory is helping to flesh out. Let me just finish just by going back for half a second, because I really don't want to leave a wrong impression. And this is not in the spirit of rebuttal, but I really think you gave a slightly wrong impression. When you said that string theorists keep modifying the theory so that it, you know, becomes closer to reality, I trust you would agree, string theorists are really guided by rigorous mathematics, and they're led by the mathematics. And the mathematics is really what dictates where we go. It's not as though one pulls something out of left field, pulls something out of right field, which I think may be the impression that that gives.
Yeah, you know, let me just finish,
and then if you want to respond to it, please do. You know, there is, you know, tens of thousands of pages of rigorous mathematical calculation behind string theory. I don't want you to get the sense that it's somehow some floppy theory that you can come and massage in any way to try to make it look like the real world. It is a rigid, highly constrained mathematical undertaking, and every previous attempt to put together gravity and quantum mechanics in a consistent framework has died by virtue of the math not making sense. This is a very hard nut to crack. Any theory that's able to put together the laws of the small and big in one consistent mathematical framework is hugely attractive and highly constrained. So it's not as though one can just keep moving the theory around and hope that it hits something close to the real world.
Two things. One, I don't want to give the impression that string theory isn't valid mathematics or that people are you know, pulling things out of their pockets. But remember that. It's not, at the same time, string theory, for example, the mathematical rigor doesn't predict four large dimensions. When you actually talk about compactification, it's not something that's cut so that you have four large dimensions of three dimensions of space and one of time that we live in. That doesn't come out of the theory. The string theorists say, well, I've got to figure out how in my theory I can finagle things so that six of these dimensions, if there are 10 of them, disappear and are invisible, and the four we see are large. And that's driven not by the theory, but trying to make it agree with the world. If it came out of the theory naturally, I'd be jumping up and down, but I'm not.
But along those lines, I should point out, you know, my own work, which is trying to establish that, you know, this is what research is about. Came within a hair's breadth of that result.
Yeah.
And it turned out that so far we've been unable to get that result. But yes, that's an open question as it comes so close to addressing.
But that's what I mean by the fact that theory, you know, you have to mold the theory because you say, well, I know there are four large dimensions.
No, we're not molding the theory. I don't know if you've read these papers.
Yeah,
but we really tried to do a cosmology.
But they didn't do it.
Yeah. That's right. I agree with you that we've not yet gotten there. But to me, it was impressive that it was so close to being able to get there that I think with future work, again, that's what research is. You don't always get the answer within a month
but
or a year.
But that's the problem with string theory. It keeps not being able to do things. And that's, we keep hoping it'll do things, and it doesn't. Now, the one example you gave, in fact, I'm proud of this, one of my students, as you know, did the calculation. But it's a very modern, I mean, after all of the tens of thousands of human years, you're figuring 1,000 bright young people working for 30 years. So yeah, we've been able to improve some calculations in the strong interactions, which some people in the strong interaction business say they could do anyway. And that's true. And therefore, string theory has had a use, but boy, it's a really modest success after all of that time.
I'm saying this is not the time to judge the theory, because we are trying to answer, which in my opinion, I think you probably agree, the most difficult, the most profound question in the history of science. If we haven't gotten to it by whatever number of years you say, 37, if we haven't gotten there in 50 or 100, as long as we are making progress, as long as we are understanding the theory better, I think that's a pursuit that we should keep on.
But I don't want it to answer the most profound question. I just wanted to answer one question.
No, but it's a package deal, man. You go to the shop and you want to buy a car and it all comes together. One of the most stunning features about string theory is, and the way in which I would say it slightly deviates from science in the past was divide and conquer. You answer this little piece of physics, you answer this little piece of physics to do with particles, to do with cosmology, and little pieces stick together and build a puzzle of the universe. One of the things of string theory is, it doesn't have a divide and conquer element to it. It's either right or wrong in the sense it's trying to answer the big questions. And that is both dangerous and potentially spectacular. If you want to take a risk, you work on it and hope that it will turn out spectacular, but it's absolutely a risk. That's what science is about.
This is a really good segue. I want to sort of summarize this section from what I